we only have 30 minutes. We'll call Sarah Favone and invite him back up tomorrow if he can for a full hour. Kyle brought me this story over a week ago. We were going to do it Friday. They said, well, I got more information. I'm going to wait till Monday. And then he was texting me. I didn't get back with him. And then this morning, I see they fired these top J6, I would call them conspirators, from the deep state at every level of it. And then I go, call Kyle. He's been calling for this since day one of the administration. They're getting a lot of heat for it. And then he goes on air and reminds me, no, it's the pilot. It's the guy that raided Mar-a-Lago. It's all of it. And he goes, I don't want to toot my horn. Yeah, because you don't want to toot your horn on this stuff, folks. Embarrassing the FBI, even if you save the country, almost always down the road, they throw your ass in jail. They've already tried to indict Kyle for this, for exposing all this stuff before. They're trying to get me. I just have a job to do. So when we tell you this is dangerous, and then it kind of hit me, I'd forgotten the dots that were being connected. So just go slow. I'm going to shut up now. This is a short segment, longer segment coming up. Maybe we can push the next guest back a little bit. But just walk, because you're worse than I am. And I mean that in a good way. Your brain works so quick that there's so many. Just go slow and start at the beginning here, because this is a big deal. I think this is the biggest thing you've ever broken, and you've broken a lot of big stuff. And I also think it's the most dangerous. Kyle Serafin.
All right, so here's the deal. There's a man named Brian Driscoll who reportedly is being fired by the FBI as of tomorrow, or he's going to be forced into retirement. Brian Driscoll was tapped kind of unexpectedly, and apparently it was an actual accident when the Trump administration took over on January 20th. He was moved into the position of what's called acting director. So he went from being kind of a smaller official in the bureau, he went to the number one guy, and apparently he was supposed to be the number two guy. They accidentally moved him in this place, and so he took over. Brian Driscoll, apparently by all accounts, is an honorable person. He worked on HRT. He spent time as an HRT operator and a team leader. He was in charge as a section chief of the critical incident response group, which is HRT and the other tactical sections. And during his leadership, we're told by people none other than like Don Jr. that Mar-a-Lago was raided not just by the FBI SWAT team in Miami, but also by the FBI's Tier 1 SWAT team, which is called the Hostage Rescue Group. The team that Driscoll used to be a member of, was a team leader of, and then was the commander of. They actually used the term commander like a military thing. So he was the number one in the FBI before Kash Patel was confirmed, and he had about a month in there. A couple of things that are really relevant. He immediately showed some signs of loyalty to the FBI and not to what was sort of the American people's mandate, because he refused to hand over a bunch of names of the folks that investigated January Sixers. People will remember this. It resulted in some lawfare. Guys like Norm Eisen, whose name I forgot the other day when I was talking, Mark Zaid was involved, and they're representing the FBI Agents Association, suing the FBI, saying we don't want those names given over to the DOJ. Brian Driscoll was the guy at the front of it. And he became kind of a folk hero in the FBI because of that, because he stood on principle, which is not a bad thing. I don't have any personal animus against Mr. Driscoll. Never worked with him. People I know said he was a good guy. So all that's out there. They started making challenge coins. What would the Driz do? That's his nickname, the Driz. All these kind of things. They started kind of creating this legend of this man who stood up to the Trump administration. So he immediately became a figure of like, quote unquote, resistance to these folks. As of today, we're hearing that he's being forced out. And the reason that came out is because, as I told you on the weekend or over the weekend, on Friday, I spoke to someone who's a member of the Trump administration. I'll be nebulous here so we don't get anybody in trouble. And I shared that we were going to break news, and I had done it on my podcast, that a guy named Chris Meyer, who is a pilot and an Air Force veteran, I think. He might be a Navy veteran, but my information is a little sketchy. He was a pilot that is now flying the FBI director's jet. But before he flew the FBI director's jet, he was in a different position at a criminal squad at the NVRA, which is the FBI Washington Field Office satellite office out in Manassas. And he ran the criminal case that helped Jack Smith and resulted in the search warrant that went to Mar-a-Lago. So that's the setup for what we're talking about. A pilot who helped raid Mar-a-Lago, who ran that case, who now is flying the FBI director's jet. We exposed it. And now the guy who is his boss's boss is apparently fired.
All right, this is incredible. And you broke all this. This is just incredible. Stay with us. We'll be right back in 60 seconds.
Alex Jones has good genes. In fact, there's only one thing better than Alex's genes. Alex's genes on Methylene Blue. Just look at those pecs. That charm. The focus. Get your methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com and make good genes great again.
For a limited time, you can get this limited edition Murdered Out InfoWars shirt at thealexjonesstore.com with the American flag on the shoulder. It's historic, and it funds the operation. We've got other cool shirts that just came in as well. The new Liberty Bell 1776 Declaration of Independence shirt is out. It's limited edition, and it's got my signature on the back. That really triggers libtards. And then there's this limited edition. I weaponized the American people. It was actually you weaponized them, and we're winning. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Podcaster and journalist and former FBI counterterrorism agent Kyle Serafin is our guest on X at Kyle Serafin. And of course, you can find him at kyleserafin.com. Kyle, I'm a pretty smart guy, and this is not convoluted, but it's complex. And the story began to develop. You know, sometime last week, you contacted me. You want to break this big thing about the pilot being in the Mar-a-Lago raid and the private $70 million jet for Kash Patel. And then it ties into this, it ties into that, it ties into, and then later you're like, well, let's do it Monday. And I'm like, sure. And then I'm, well, let's talk so I can get more. And then we both get busy and we don't talk. And then I don't get you on Monday. And then now I'm understanding as we're on air that this is tied to the big J6 overlords before J6, during J6, persecution after J6. And three of these big dogs getting fired. And then you're saying, from your sources in the FBI, Kash Patel is literally screaming, yelling, saying F Kyle Serafin last week. And from the sources, Trump learns, wait a minute, we got a J6 ringwraith or field marshal, the field marshal in a high position, and the pilot flying the FBI director around was heavily involved in raiding my wife's underwear drawer. So again, this isn't, I'm not trying to attack Kash Patel, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is Kash Patel. Maybe he didn't know about this, but regardless, he's pissed off finally firing these people, because when he gave the order to fire the pilot, because Trump knew about that and was pissed, they weren't smart enough to do what he said. Is that an accurate breakdown?
I'm not confident that I can tie Donald Trump's knowledge of this. What I can say is that people inside the Bureau have reported that Kash Patel was listening to me explain this, was sick of getting beat up on X about it and social media, which does tell you the power of social media, as much as I'd love to downplay it. The fact that people read what I have to say and then start agitating and people in the administration are upset. Kash Patel, I don't think knew this, but found out that the guy that's been flying his jet for the last 7 months was the case agent on the Mar-a-Lago case that resulted in the search warrant going through, as you said, Melania's underwear drawer. So that's got to be really frustrating to find out that you don't even know who your own people are. And this is kind of the reason why I pitched the services of myself and Garrett O'Boyle and Steve Friend and some of the other former FBI guys out there that said, look, we don't care whether the FBI survives. What we care about is that the American people don't deal with weaponization. And we've got a lot of sources and information and people come to us. So what you're seeing is that I put out a thread. This is just like basically simple reporting. I do it. I'm not a journalist by trade. I'm an investigator in a criminal way. And I was a paramedic. So I know how to write a report. And what I'm doing is showing you the evidence. The evidence shows that a guy named Christopher Meyer, who used to work out in Manassas for the FBI and ran the case on Mar-a-Lago, he worked with another guy named Walter Gardena, who actually was involved in the arrest of Peter Navarro. So that ties in another current Trump administration official. Those guys, substantiated by a police report that I found of a person named Harrison Floyd, who was in charge of Black Voices for Trump. And they actually had him arrested when they served a subpoena in the Fulton County case. This is all related to Jack Smith. These are the guys that were actually doing the work of the investigation on behalf of Jack Smith, as far as I can piece it together.
Yeah, so these are Jack Smith's henchmen.
Correct. Exactly. And
well,
so you've got Chris Meyer.
Patel wouldn't be upset unless Trump learned of this, or Navarro did, or he thought they would learn of it.
I think that's a fair speculation. Like I say, I can't substantiate it, so I'm sticking with what I know, but I don't think you're wrong. What we do know is that the guys came in, the new ones, so this is Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, et cetera, the new sort of administration came in and took over. They moved Brian Driscoll into a favorable position, doing something that he used to do. He was in charge as the highest level assistant director over that old program, CERG, where they have the pilots, where they have the tactical teams and so on. And then you've got them flying this. So what they did is they came through and they shut down the squad, the entire squad that used to be in existence out in Manassas, Virginia, that was doing Jack Smith's work, was disbanded. Now, I don't know if those people were fired or not, but my guess is they were probably just reassigned somewhere in the Bureau, which is fine. They no longer have what's called CR-15, which was the Criminal Squad 15 out of the Washington field office. The crazy thing, though, is Chris Meyer, who was the case agent on that Mar-a-Lago case, probably got wind that it wasn't going to go his way when the new administration came in. So he quietly put in for a transfer, and he transferred to the other thing you can do out in Manassas working for the FBI. He happened to be a commercial pilot based on his military service, and he was able to get in and fly the director's jet. So you now got a
guy then, let's just understand the FBI. This guy's a war vet, spooked out, head of the hostage rescue team. Those guys are all like Delta Force types. Magically, he's assigned to the FBI director. Come on, you don't think that happened by accident?
I don't think it happened. Also, to be a pilot, you actually have to have that skill set in advance. So, like, there is that. But at the end of the day, this guy saw an exit, and the story goes
the deep state always wants to keep the Praetorian close to the so-called bosses.
So what I'm told, even funnier than that, since you're keying in on it, is that when Brian Driscoll was telling Kash Patel that you can't fire this guy, he also brought up, do you really want to fire a guy who's been sitting on the jet for the last 7 months, listening to all your conversations, flying to the UFC events, hanging out, going to places where your girlfriend was.
Oh, my God. Who threatened the FBI director? This is and I know you don't make stuff up. You showed me all the stuff.
I don't. This is Brian Driscoll. This is Brian Driscoll, who's apparently just told he's done on Friday. So Brian Driscoll, who was the number one at the FBI before Kash Patel got there, mentioned to Kash Patel today, I'm told, that you can't get rid of a guy who's been listening to your conversations for the last 7 months. You can't do that. Plus, he's a war veteran and so on. So
big balls, man.
Huge balls, no doubt about it, because this is the same guy that apparently told the Trump administration as they were coming in, maybe the chief of staff or maybe it was just the deputy attorney general, if you want to get these J6 lists, this happened in January of 2025, like right when they came into office. He apparently said, if you want to come over here and fire me, then come fire me.
By the way, you know the law firm with the FBI that ran the lawsuits against me is the main law firm now for the FBI agents on J6.
Yeah, these are all the same people. This is the Lawfare organization that's decided to resist against Donald Trump. They'll represent anybody that goes against the interests of what I would say the people. The administration seems kind of piecemeal. There's people in the administration that are doing a good job. I think there's some people that are clearly not doing a good job. And then there's some people that are just happy to be there. So they're just going to go along.
Well, so Brian Driscoll was the number one. But just the backdrop. And Daria, I know the doctor's waiting. Can you push him we'll do the whole third hour with him, fourth hour. This is too important. Look, Kyle, you're so smart. I mean, that everybody knows it's true that a lot of this goes over people's heads. I'm having trouble tracking it all. Give us a big boil down gestalt first about this, because the big enchilada is three top Jan 6 ring race involved before, during, after the persecution. They're finally fired. You, since day one, I showed the tweets, are saying this is a problem, vetting process, red alert. I mean, okay. They tried to persecute you, tried to get Senator Grassley to go after you. They tried to indict you. You've gotten those documents now. And you're still fighting, undeterred by that. Actually encourages you. You're just like me. It's not we're looking for trouble. We just can't help it. Can't run away from a fight. We're doing the right thing. And then now you get the mother load of all this. And now it's all coming together. And now you're talking to high-level White House. The FBI's got to.
I assume that they are. So there's the picture. Your folks are doing a great job pulling that. That's the challenge coin that was sent out to FBI employees. They could buy it. What would Driscoll do? What would the Driz do? And apparently they attribute this statement, if you want to come get rid of me, come fire me. So here he is. He's been made a folk hero. Driscoll was the number one on January 20th. He was the acting director of the FBI. So he's a player. He was the hostage rescue team supreme commander, the highest commander inside that organization, when Mar-a-Lago was raided, and apparently he was the one that allowed those guys to go down and do that. And that's coming from
Donald Trump Jr. They're implying he's the president. Like, look
you
at
see the
seditiousness
right?
of this. They're acting
Isn't
like
that wild.
Well, what they're saying is he. You notice I keyed on it. You sent me a. I guess it was like last Saturday. You sent me just a post, and I didn't even watch the video. And you said, "What do you take from this?" And it was Bongino making a statement I've heard over and over again. I go, I keep seeing this statement from them. The same PR guy must be writing it. And I said, who is the PR guy? And he goes, you said, yeah, you nailed it. We don't know who it is writing the script. But it shows like this is just you see these patterns. And now that is so obvious. They show this guy who just got fired by you spotlighting it. Not trying to be mean. You just spotlight it. It's your job. Literally as if he's the president.
Yes.
What yeah, the correct. Hell is the message of that? Like the FBI is we run this.
Look, the FBI, yes, the FBI runs the director. That's what I've been trying to tell people since the beginning. This is something I tried to tell Cash Patel and have him understand.
That's the Oval Office.
That's the Resolute Desk. Yep. That's what we're showing.
They're saying we run the country.
The FBI is making some, you know, whether they knew that far when they made this, I can't say it, but we're looking at it. Let the people make their own decisions. That's what I do. I present information and evidence.
Well, if I put out a coin about me at the Oval Office desk, I mean that.
You'd be making a statement, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
All right. So here's Brian Driscoll. At that time, he was the number one in the FBI, the acting director. And so the four people that we've had removed that we're told, based on the reporting from the New York Times, now CNN and Fox News, is that four people have been removed. The pilot is something that I'm hearing is happening. Whether that happens or not is another story. A guy named Walter Giordano, like I said, he was one of the people that arrested Peter Navarro. And then the two high-level people are Stephen J6 Jensen and Peter and Brian Driscoll. Driscoll, the former number one, Jensen, whose face is also on the screen right there, is the assistant director in charge of the Washington field office. That's the top guy working the actual field cases in Washington, D.C.
He's an administrator. J6 ringleader, right?
He was the section chief for the domestic terrorism operations section, which declared that J6ers were in fact terrorists and they treated him as such. Now, for your audience to understand why that's such a big deal, when you are under a terrorist investigation, you don't need criminal process. In other words, you don't have to have
precedent to say all of MAGA was terrorists, which the Democrats said they wanted.
Not only that, we found out since, and this may actually get exposed soon in actual writing, but we've been told that everybody that refused the vaccine inside the federal government was trying to be smeared with J6ers and therefore as domestic terrorists. So these leaps are really wild. These happen under the Biden administration, but if you don't fix them under
your
administration, you're equally complicit.
First it was J6 connection, then it was not taking shots. It was all these litmus tests for purging. And I've read and heard, and I think you even told me this, but a bunch of other FBI has told me, if you were a leftist, you didn't get pressure to take the shot, but if you were a patriot, you did.
I can't substantiate that one either, but yeah, that makes perfect sense because they were looking for a very specific people. Look, all the guys that I know that got removed from the Bureau are Christian. Many of them are military veterans and they were all unvaccinated and they all decided to bring things forward, probably because they answer to a higher power than the government. So the four people, again, is this guy, Stephen Jensen, who I've referred to as a J6 warlord. He's the guy who called them terrorists. And, you know, my answer is I don't think they knew who he was, but once they made that bad decision and guys like me called it out because I know what a section chief is and I know what a section chief does because I worked in the FBI, they had two choices. They could have gone like, holy crap, we've made a mistake. We need to get rid of this guy or you can double down. And what they did is they doubled down. This happened in February. I sent your folks some videos. There's a video of Julie Kelly. She went on Steve Bannon's program and just basically excused this. And the answer that why they promoted him was you need someone to know where the bodies are buried inside the FBI. First of all, I can help you with that. Second of all, if that was the case, you'd put Chris Wray up there. Because Chris Wray would know where all the bodies are buried. If you're going to take a high-level person who knows what was going on.
You're moving too fast. We got the rest of the hour. Move the gas. Please, just take your time, Kyle, because I'm not... again, this is everything you're dropping. Bombshell. Everything you've ever told me has been accurate. You said you're never getting Epstein files. You said everything. I'm asking you, Mr. Palantir, Mr. Crystal Ball. I don't mean literal Palantir, but you know, I'm asking you, former counterterrorism, but who cares about the title? You're smart, okay? And you got balls. So we respect you more and more every day. It's gone from high level to just insane level. Big picture for all the normal people out there, and even for me, the bigger deal is all these four guys are gone. Why did Patel finally do it? And it looks to me like whether Patel was good or bad, just like with Trump, they've got to get the deep state's not going to back down. You can't cohabitate with them. If even they tell you they're going to work with you and let's make nice, you don't do that once you defeat an enemy. You got to at least send them away, you know, to an island like Napoleon, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Exile or execution. You and I talked about this previously in person. Exile or execution are the only options for people in a government that don't agree with what you want to do with it. And they haven't done it. So getting rid of four people, it's certainly not enough. The claim is they're going to get rid of a bunch more. Here's the thing. I was advocating this before he took office. I was telling Patel that this is the way. If it took him 8 months to realize that I was right, that's a shame, because I've always been an honest operator and it doesn't actually benefit me in any way, shape, or form to say these things that are true. It doesn't make me feel great to say, hey, I voted for Trump. I was very transactional about that. I had some friends who were J6ers. I wanted them to get pardoned. I wanted Owen to be pardoned. I wanted all those guys to have their lives made right. And so that's why I voted. I also wanted my friends to be reinstated if they wanted a job with this organization, but I'm never going to go work for the federal government again. It's awful. And like, you can see what they're doing. And instead of listening to what I said in good faith, they decided to push back. They actually did an entire smear campaign and messaging campaign. I've got influencers that are DMing
Grassley,
me.
Grassley, you were a traitor, and he told them, screw up. It's stopping there, though.
They literally said people, yeah, they went out and told people in D.C. I've had multiple people say that I have character issues, that I shot at someone, that I misused my firearm, that I was irresponsible and dangerous.
Well, believe me, I know it's a lot of fun.
It's just a smear campaign.
But separately, now they're listening, let's have it, not a victory dance here, but yeah. I'm predicting this is going to become a major scandal. Even if you and I shut up today, it'll be a good scandal to focus Trump on the nest of deep staters in there. Don't you feel good? I mean, I feel really good about this.
This is the most dangerous thing. Like, this animal, the FBI and the DOJ, not doing what we want them to do is the most scary thing that you can have as Americans.
Oh, and putting challenge coins out where their little patrons.
Right. Well, just consider this. Like, the only people inside the federal government that are going to come in and take your life generally are going to work for some component of the DOJ. There's a small potential that could come from a DHS organization. But at the end of the day, the people that we see being the pointy end of the stick for the federal government is the FBI, the United States Marshal Service. It's the DEA. It's the ATF.
Yeah, tyranny's those guys coming, kill people. That's how it's going to come. So what do you think if you showed Trump the challenge coin and told him the story for 5 minutes, and here's the guy sitting in your desk, sir? What do you think Trump does when he sees that?
Well, what he should do is gut the place, which is the same thing that I've been arguing since the beginning. Everybody that was a GS-15 mid-level manager, all the way up to anybody that was an SES, they should all be destroyed. They should never be able to work in federal service again. And some of these people, they shouldn't get a pension. They should probably have criminal indictments.
And like you said,
I guarantee there was a conspiracy.
Who have the best records of honor and working hard, the guys that actually want to do stuff.
Yeah, the only way that you were going to get the FBI to come back was to take it like an hourglass and take the bottom full of all the sand, the people who actually work the cases, flip it upside down and say, look, I know you don't have any like senior management experience, but you know what the mission is. We need to do the mission properly. And I thought that's what Kash Patel was going to do. That's not what he's decided to do. He's embraced the lifestyle. He's basically listened to all the sycophantic vipers that are sitting there whispering in his ear, hoping that he's going to fail and proving all the things that I'm saying right, that the most dangerous thing to the FBI director is the FBI. Shocker. Like, these people are liars for a living. This is what they did.
But shouldn't we thank Brian Driscoll at risk for reportedly threatening the director that, hey, the pilot knows everything you've done? I mean, shouldn't we thank him for their arrogance of putting out a challenge coin where he's the president?
Well, here's the thing. There's nobody that would expect that anybody would know about that meeting, except that I just happen to have really good contacts throughout the FBI and the Hoover building. So if I'm not sitting here and making these things, listen, the FBI director is learning about what goes on in the FBI by listening to the Kyle Serafin show. Alex, I don't say that lightly. It makes me kind of smirk because it's hilariously ridiculous.
No, you showed me the text messages from the guys in there with when the 14 terabytes was sent out. Then a month later, you said, no, nothing's happening. And you were right then. I mean, you got the receipts, bro. But can you feel the danger? Like, I even feel the danger, and I'm willing to do it. I just feel it. What we're doing right now is people need to, this is crazy. And look, the people in the government shouldn't blame us. The government's a runaway train. We're trying to save the whole country and the world. And everybody just needs to get on our team and reform this stuff right now. I mean, my God, doesn't the deep state know they're going to get their ass kicked no matter what? The fact that they fear you because you have integrity and because people come to you because they know you'll vet it, you'll check it, you'll put it out if it's true. They fear you as a focal point.
Let me add this to it. First of all, I didn't feel worried about it until you mentioned it. Now I kind of do. So thanks for that, Alex. I wasn't panicking a little bit until now. I'll make this offer right now.
Well, last week you call me and go, we've got the pilot that raided Mar-a-Lago and we've got all this. And I was like, okay, we'll do that. And then I was going to, and then I was like, I got out of the car. So I was, you know, going in a store to, buy my daughter some exercise clothes for her exercise. And I was just like, God, I got to put this out. Well, I'm going to do it. Obviously, they're already trying to put me in jail. Doing this is like whatever. We're doing it now.
We're doing it. We're doing it live as we go. Here's the thing. I'll make this offer as well. At some point, this guy, Chris Meyer, may want to tell his story. And if he wants to, he can come to me and I will honestly and fairly represent whatever his backstory is. There's actually some pretty interesting information out there, which is that these ops have been spun. These are narrative ops, Alex. These are information ops that are not particularly well done. I don't know how the FBI and the FBI director spin what they just did today by getting rid of these guys, because they already went on a PR campaign saying that J6 Jensen, who's in charge of the Washington field office, needed to be there because he provides critical information. I sent you guys a Fox News clip of Kash Patel being interviewed, and he was actually being grilled because it was a big scandal when he did it. And I was at the forefront of this, calling them out. You just promoted the J6 warlord. What the hell are you guys doing? And he defended it and said Jensen literally fought back and that he was the example of what you want in an FBI agent.
How did you know about this the second day of the administration? We showed your post on X from like January 22nd. How did you know that?
Because people in the FBI talk to me every single day because I'm out there trying to make this thing right. You know, at the end of the day, I don't care about getting impressions on X. I don't make enough money on there for it to matter. I don't make, I'm not out here doing this because it's like, oh, I have a lot of fun playing on social media or it hurts somebody's feelings, although that is kind of amusing. At the end of the day, I want my kids not to wake up in America where the FBI kicks down their door because of mean tweets. And if that means they have to kick down dad's door, which God knows they were attempting to do that, we've showed you the receipts that they were out there going into my social
media. We're not being overdramatic. I got targeted by the FBI with a national security investigation just for criticizing Obama, and it went on for 10 years. Believe me, when we go, this is dangerous. We want listeners to understand. You wonder why there's not more people like Kyle Serafin? Because this is dangerous as hell, folks.
Not only do we get the actual FBI coming after us, they also go after your reputation. I've had my former supervisor.
PR firms, law firms, the media.
That's right.
Just look how the FBI with the NSA and CIA was running all the censorship. It's one big blob.
My former boss, who was a useless employee, who basically claimed to fame was that he was on the protective detail for Eric Holder. And then he did nothing for years afterwards until he retired. I'm not sure he's ever done any useful case. He's out there smearing me out in social media and writing pieces at town hall, smearing Kyle Serafin and praising Steve Jensen, who we found out is now going to be the thorn in the side. They tried to quietly dismiss him. And at the end of the day, I'm not letting anybody walk away from these things. If you want to play that Kash Patel clip, I think it's less than the amount of time we have left.
It's only 40 seconds. I want to come back, though, and I want to talk about the big issue here. And I'm not wrong on things like this. This is going to be a major scandal, a healthy one, and Trump is going to go on a rampage. And I think you already predicted privately with me that there would be some people gone high level. I think this accelerates that. Or maybe Patel and Bongino finally come to Jesus and stop listening to the snakes. But we'll talk about it next segment. But here's what you're talking about with Kash Patel defending the people he finally fired for one of them blackmailing. I mean, folks, you tell the FBI director, well, you better watch it. He's been around you for 7 months on that plane. I would probably start strangling someone at that point. Here it is.
But you promoted Steven Jensen, the architect of the FBI's overzealous January 6th investigation.
I want the American public to realize what we did. That man was in a position where he literally fought back against the machine who was saying, we want to politicize this event. We want to politicize this event. And at the end of the day, remember, Maria, there's a chain of command here. So you can fight back your chain of command to a certain degree before they fire you. And Steve Jensen and other folks were promoted because they embody what the American public demands of FBI agents.
Let's come back with that. I mean, that is the biggest load of crap. He followed orders. He violated the Nuremberg Code. And that's why they promoted him. He fought. No, he led the attack. He was a zealot against the J6ers. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying. It feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr.'s loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So start going to take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts speaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened and did it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theauctionshow.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long-distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See that? No crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. While I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better, and Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling this a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I've been interrupting a lot just because this stuff is so complex, and I've been kind of involved in the middle of it. I know a lot of the backstory. I know what he's saying is true. I know this is the biggest modern, FBI whistleblower. Can't think of many like him before, period, but maybe the most famous FBI whistleblower ever. And so Kyle, do this because this is so big. It all starts with these four high-level FBI people fired, J6, Ringwraiths, and then the pilot for Kash Patel, and on the Mar-a-Lago raid, and then you're talking to the insiders that Patel flips out about this, and that he's on the phone threatening him, hey, you better watch out. Your pilot, former head of the hostage rescue team that just got assigned to you, keep tabs, obviously, as you predicted 6 months ago. A similar thing would happen, Praetorian Guard, in case the Senate gets tired of the emperor. They're putting challenge coins out about the guy that's making the threats where he's really the president. I mean, you cannot make up these data points. And that Patel finally flips out, your sources are there screaming and yelling, mad at you, mad at them. You ought to be thanking you. He was talking to you a lot before, saying you were a hero, should have brought you in if we were in real reform. But the deep state saying, oh, no, work with us. We'll make it easy. They're now seeing it's not. Obviously, Trump knows about this. If he didn't know before, he knows now. So give me like a 4 or 5 minute, like you're talking to a grand jury, Talk to me like I'm 5 years old. Boil it down so I can put this on the front of the interview and also put it out by itself. No, that's a tall order. All this data, but I'm sure you can do it. Kyle Serafin, I'm going to shut up for 5 minutes. Give us your opening statement.
All right. Up front, I'm going to refer people to my X account. They can go to at Kyle Serafin if you want to see the actual evidence put out there. The bottom line up front is this. The pilot who flies Kash Patel's private jet right now, a Gulfstream 550 FBI aircraft, was previously, in his post just before that, running the investigation into Mar-a-Lago on behalf of Jack Smith that resulted in a search warrant at the now president's house. That sounds really scandalous. So the question is, how do you end up with the guy who ran the case into the current president now flying around the current FBI director and listening in on all of his conversations? And it goes something like this. I gave advice to Kash Patel early on. I was giving him advice all the way through the nomination process, through the confirmation process, and the minute he was confirmed, he cut me off and no longer started talking. So now he gets the information that I share the same way that any of you would. They listen to my podcast, which is a really awkward thing to find out that the FBI director was catching up on my show and yelling about it and calling me an MF-er, apparently. So we put out a thread on Monday of this week. On Friday, I gave the Trump administration a little bit of a heads up. I called an insider, somebody that I know and trust, and said, here's some information. The pilot who was flying Kash Patel was the case agent on the Mar-a-Lago case. You should know that. This is the person's name. Here's his FAA airman receipt. This is his type certifications on planes. This is his address, which I didn't share, but I said, look, it ties into what goes on over at the FAA database. The address that's on file with the tax assessor shows that he's law enforcement. In other words, it's redacted. It says name withheld on behalf of the owner, which is a thing that Virginia does for law enforcement officers. So I gave him all the evidence to be able to make sure that this was the guy. And then I showed them that this guy, Christopher Meyer, was not just the pilot, not just the guy who worked on the Mar-a-Lago case, but he also was the person who was involved in the arrest of one Harrison Floyd. Harrison Floyd was one of the guys that went to jail and spent time in the courthouse and alongside Donald Trump as a defendant in Fulton County. So he was part of the Fannie, the AG Fannie that was in there that was going after Trump and co in the local cases that were happening. So you've got this guy, he helped arrest Harrison Floyd. His partner on that arrest was another guy named Walter Gardena. And Gardena and Chris Meyer apparently have been ordered fired. So that's of note. That came as a result of this thread, which went out viral on Monday. As I get, I gave him 2 days to respond to it, and then we published it. The story goes forward because nobody was moving forward. What we also found out is that the former number one at the FBI, the acting director at the time when Donald Trump took office, a guy named Brian Driscoll, has also been ordered removed. And the insiders that I had told me that the conversation that went on in the office went something like this. You need to fire that pilot who's underneath your sort of chain of command. He said, you can't do that because he's a veteran. And he said, I want him fired anyway. And he said, do you really want to fire the guy who spent 7 months listening to your conversations and flying around in a private jet with you? Which, whether it's an implied threat or not, it is one of those kind of things that we all worried about. What does leverage look like? What does it look like to have access? It's the reason why you wouldn't want a case agent from Mar-a-Lago actually flying the plane and having direct, you know, shoulder rubs with the current director of the FBI. Gardena was apparently removed as well. He was also involved in other cases that were going after known Trump people like Peter Navarro. He's one of the people that put handcuffs on him and helped walk him out during the arrest. And then lastly is this guy named J6 Jensen. Now, Stephen Jensen was formerly the DTOS, Domestic Terrorism Operations Section Chief on January 6th of 2021. Stephen Jensen was really the first personnel mistake that I saw the FBI make, and it made me incredibly concerned that they were going to promote somebody who legitimately referred to a huge chunk of Donald Trump supporters as terrorists, and it resulted in all the bad things that we saw from January 6th and the prioritization of those cases as national security priorities and all of the sins that kind of flowed out of the Biden administration. One of the major reasons they could do that is because they called J6ers terrorists, which allowed them to call the rest of the MAGA people what they called anti-government, anti-authority, violent extremists. I'm one. Alex, you're one. Owen is one, I'm sure, as well from his cases. So all of us get lumped into this domestic terrorist category because of Stephen Jensen. Stephen Jensen was not fired. He wasn't suspended like my friend Garrett O'Boyle, whose name you're showing on the screen. What he was promoted to be the top guy in the Washington field office. He was promoted to be what's called the assistant director in charge. And we were told he was promoted specifically because he knew where the bodies were buried. But that was false at the time. It was obviously false to me at the time. He was promoted because they didn't know who he was. And he was being shoved forward by all of these mid-level actors inside the bureau that are the problem, that you didn't get rid of by exile or execution, the people that still are loyal to the bureau above all else. And so those folks are the ones who have been whispering sweet nothings. They're the grim worm tongue, like you see in the Lord of the Rings. They're whispering all the worst things into the king's ear. And because he apparently doesn't know any better and he doesn't listen to guys like me anymore, he's getting played. And finally, we're seeing some of this stuff break because it's incredibly embarrassing to realize that the guy who was the search warrant and the person who serialized the files on Donald Trump's search warrant was also the guy flying your jet. So I have to imagine the president would be pissed. The person that I told seemed absolutely outraged, immediately reached out to Kash Patel, and I had to tell him or her, listen, the problem is that I don't think Kash Patel has much respect for what I have to say, even though I'm right, and I unfortunately keep being right about these things. We're watching maybe the first push, and as you said earlier, this might spur some action to really look at the danger that the FBI presents. The fact that, like, when we talk about a deep state, we're not talking about like dark alleys, deep throat, and people working in the shadows. We're talking about people that go every single day to their job inside the federal government, and they do one thing. They look out for their agency and their interests first, and the American people and the Constitution is a distant second or third, if at all. That's the real crisis that's going on here. This might be one of the things that actually breaks it. It's the first reversal. There is no way to spin this in a positive way and say this was our operation all the time. We were setting these guys up. This is an admission that they got played and that guys like me and Gerda Boyle and Steve Friend and Phil Kennedy and others have been right all along.
And Kyle, is what's right. I always thought you were smart years ago exposing all this head of balls, but I'm really impressed. You probably don't remember privately, but also on air, you said it's all about the private jet, not just the elitism, but who's on the jet. Who from the inside have they put around him to control him and also try to set him up or gather data to then blackmail him? Do you remember saying this like 5-6 months
ago? Yeah, so the term is bubble wrapping, Alex. This is the term that the FBI uses specifically about the FBI director. You want to do a thing called bubble wrapping, which means that they're going to focus on our priorities and then we can do what we want to do inside the FBI. Again, historically speaking, the FBI runs the director, and the FBI deputy director runs the FBI. That's usually the most senior person. We're in a weird world now where Dan Bongino, who's not of the FBI, is the deputy director. So now he's also getting run by the FBI, which is why they tell him there's 100 level 10 things on your desk first thing in the morning, and you've got to do all this stuff before something goes boom or there's a cyber attack or everybody dies. And the fact of the matter is, there's about 13 levels of bureaucracy between Dan Bongino and the case agents who are actually investigating anything that's going to cause danger to Americans.
It's come out, there's no connection. CIA briefers control presidents and exhaust them and wake them up at night. So you've called it all, and I totally agree with you. This is a real opportunity to get Trump informed to cause a purge, and it shows some light at the end of the tunnel that Patel, which you warned about all this, now has finally fired these people when they threatened him.
I think he's done it for the wrong reasons, but I'll take the right actions for the wrong reasons 10 out of 10 times. Why? Because it results in things that we need as Americans. This is not about vindicating me. I could care less. At the end of the day, I'm one guy. I live in a suburban house outside of Austin. I've got little kids, and I got to hang out with my two-year-old for lunch this afternoon. So I'm already winning at life. That's
no,
the best thing that can happen.
No, I got that part, but
but
I know
we
something.
Need to fix this for America. We
I
need
agree.
To fix this for our country.
I agree, but I know it when I and see so, it. I know I'm praising you because it's just deserved. I mean, you've been right so much. We need to listen to you. Imagine if somebody like you could go in and tell them what to put in the FBI. I mean, there's a lot of obviously smart people there. So let me ask you this. Obviously, this is going to be a firestorm, and we need to use it to reform things. There's a no-brainer. Folks, I know how to call trends. This is going to be a huge scandal. They're going to try to come in and spin this now. What did they think they were going to do when they got blackmailed? And then who knows what that is about? And then now they've done this, just like I could tell you 33 days ago when Trump said there is no Epstein, you know, go away. I said, that's Trump. 2 days later, admit it was him. This is no-brainer stuff. This is going to be a firestorm. The question is, what comes out of this?
This is like any sort of tight-knit group where you come in and try to take over an organization. Alex, if you walk onto a soccer team and everybody's on the team and you're new and they don't want to do what you say, you're the new coach, you've got to break that thing and build them up as one unit underneath you. That didn't happen. We didn't see Dan Bongino or Cash Patel. They walked in there and immediately started cheerleading on behalf of the FBI. They've got Dan Bongino.
No, they're like dogs basically that roll over on their back and pee.
Yeah, they're polishing the movie posters that say how great the FBI is. There's nothing worse than watching people come in and spend years talking about how it should be devastated, that personnel is policy, that we need to root out all the bad actors, and that everybody at a certain level should be fired. And then they walk in, and the first thing they do is change their tune. I don't think it's because they're compromised or that there's blackmail material on guys like Dan or Cash, per se. What I think happens
is pressure. It's peer pressure.
It's also pride, Alex, is the really sad thing. It's the oldest sin there is. You walk in and you think that because you're here, now everything is better. And because people are agreeing with you that you're right and they're actually doing what you said.
Well, that's what Spring of Corps with elite troops is about, is they go through so much to get the title. Now it's their identity. They know they're good, so they project their own goodness on everything else.
You just can't walk in and not touch these people aggressively hard and actually root out the problem and then think that the problem is gone. It's just not there. It just goes in hiding. This is the nature of permanent Washington. You can call it administrative state or deep state. You can call it anything you want. This is the way that government agencies
absolutely
work.
So let's
every
go back,
though.
Let's go back because we got hit by the break and you wanted to play it. Play the 40-second Cash, 44-second Cash Patel again. I mean, I don't want to be mean to Cash. I want to believe in him. He did a lot of great stuff in podcasting before, and Federal Reserve's private and sounded like me. So I want to believe in him. I'm not here. I'm not a guy that just wants to snipe at people.
I'm just going to tell you, I think he lied. I think he lied to us. And I'm telling you that because he told me things very specifically that he didn't do. If you lie to my face, you only get to do that one or two times. When you tell me that you're going to take care of people like O'Boyle, you're going to take care of people like Friend, when you go out there and say you're going to do the right thing, and then you immediately do the wrong thing, and you listen to the wrong people for what seems like exactly the wrong reasons, pride, hubris, the desire for a private jet. When you go do that, you've burned all the credibility with me.
But just finishing the statement, what I'm saying is I don't want to sit there and attack him. But in that same famous interview from 3-4 months ago, when they started the rollout of Epstein killed himself, the Easter Bunny's real, the Tooth Fairy's real, he wasn't a human trafficker, all that, the shooter in Pennsylvania, crooks acting alone, all this ridiculous crap, two men can have a baby stuff, he slips in, that guy was a hero trying to stop J6 persecution, but he's now the guy we need because he followed orders. That is the greatest level of gaslighting. I mean, the clip is, I overlooked this in the interview because it's so disgusting. So when I said I don't want to attack him, I just have to say, go ahead before we play the clip, but just.
Yeah, let people listen specifically for this. I'm going to prime the audience's ears. He said that Steven Jensen pushed back against the raid on Mar-a-Lago, okay, even though he was in charge of the terrorism section, and that he was exactly what Americans expect from FBI agents. Those are two things to listen to. Here's the other problem. The pilot who is now flying the jet, who also was the one who was running the case that resulted in that search warrant at Mar-a-Lago, the defense of him by Brian Driscoll, per my sources, was that he also pushed back against it. I lost my job when I pushed back because I pushed back and said, I'm not going to do this under any circumstances. You're not going to let me violate my religious convictions. I won't do it. That's not negotiable. Whatever you do is next.
Persecution of conservative Catholics and schools and targeting parent groups at PTA meetings.
Either you're right or you're wrong. If you believe in your convictions, then there's nothing they can tell you under chain of command. It's not a lawful order if it's illegal, immoral, or unethical. They asked him to do something. Eventually, these guys sort of disagreed, and then they complied. So when he says that he pushed back, you're going to hear him say, they literally pushed back. His word, literally. Like he's really emphasizing something.
It's total crap. This guy didn't just push back. He was a field marshal basically heading up the persecution. So it's a lie.
Correct. And he actually said in his own congressional testimony, Steven Jensen stated that he was the reason why J6ers were listed as terrorists. He was the one who helped decide through the United States Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C., what the charges would look like and how they would go and field them.
Throw in the
he was
book.
One
so,
of like five people at the table.
Just like the D.C. attorney they had to let go, who said, like, this is political. We want to scare you. We want to crush you. He was saying the quiet part aloud. So let's just go all the way. I want to play the clip and analyze it. But first, well, let's play the clip and think about it. What do they have on Patel? Why did he get approved so quickly? Because we're going to go there. Let's just go all the way.
All right, let's go there. Yep.
Let's just go there. Damn the torpedoes, go straight at him. Justice be done by the heavens fall. But let's first analyze. This is the worst gaslighting ever. Here it is.
But you promoted Steven Jensen, the architect of the FBI's overzealous January 6th investigation.
I want the American public to realize what we did. That man was in a position where he literally fought back against the machine who was saying, we want to politicize this event. Mm-hmm. We want to politicize this event. And at the end of the day, remember, Maria, there's a chain of command here. So you can fight back your chain of command to a certain degree before they fire you. And Steve Jensen and other folks were promoted because they embody what the American public demands of FBI agents.
The American public demands you hunt down little old women that walk between velvet robes were put in jail. They demand Owen Shore that didn't go in the building and the federal filings that he attacked the building and didn't work it. I mean, this is just, you know, this is the opposite of what we want, Kyle.
Yeah, to quote Dan Bongino, that's a big nugget right there that he just dropped on us. It's not the kind of nugget Dan was talking about. It's not golden. That's a huge turd. If you think that your job is to follow things that you know to be illegal, immoral, or unethical, then you have no business carrying the shield. There's a reason why I wear this on my lapel, Alex. This is the Suspendables logo. This is my buddies. We all created this joke group when we wrote a letter to Chris Ray and saying that we were all suspended for, you know, what he did. It's upside down on purpose. I gave one to Dan Bongino at the premiere of Police State, which was a movie that was about, you know, people following orders and doing illicit things. I thought he got it too. And when I handed it to him, I said, Dan, this is our little lapel pin. I've given you one. I've given one to Owen as well. When I hand it to people, I tell them the eagle is down. You'll notice that the eagle on the badge is upside down. It is laying head down. That is an agency that's under duress. And when the people that are at the top of the bureau or any other federal agency are doing exactly what the American people want for them to do, and that is violate the rights of people and stand up and say, I think this is wrong. I think what you're doing is wrong, but oh, you're right. It's actually just my job to follow orders, so I'm going to do what you said. I've been calling these people good Americans since probably about October of 2021 when I refused the vaccine mandate. I told them that they were doing
exactly
the same things that were done
Democrats
in Nuremberg.
And Obama and Brennan and Clapper want. So I watched the whole interview on Fox and didn't pick up on that part. That's the worst part of the interview.
Hands down, it's the worst thing that you can say, that I'm going to go do this. And here's the thing. All of this stuff goes back to the COVID vaccine mandates. All this goes because that happened just after January 6th.
Sure, it was a purge. So let me ask you this, and let's go to the big point. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to speculate here, but is Patel stupid? He doesn't come off like that.
He's not stupid.
Is he just a social climber? Like you said, I'll be CIA or FBI. All I want's a position. Or is he being blackmailed? Because they're threatening him.
I don't know that they're mutually exclusive, and I don't think that has to be blackmail per se. I think you can just insinuate that he's lied under oath. It's provably false, the things that he said, even during his confirmation hearing. He said things that are false. I've spoken to other conservative broadcasters who said when their clips were brought up of Kash Patel on the podcast or radio shows that they ran, and they were asked about, you know, hey, what did you mean when you said this? He said, well, that was taken out of context. And I've had other people that are very honorable inside the sort of conservative media space that said that really rubbed me the wrong way because they were right in context. But he explicitly denied knowing Stu Peters. This is kind of like, you know,
even though he did somebody like 25 interviews with him.
He did 8 interviews specifically. They were 20 or 30 minutes at a time. And apparently, per Stu Peters, who I totally believe only because I had the same experience,
I thought it was like
25, they would text back and forth.
Yeah.
So there were 25 with another group, another
I'm sure I'm wrong. You always have, you have a better brain than I
do. End of the day, I have all 8 of those episodes downloaded. He was asked under oath, you know, do you know who Stu Peters is? And he said, I don't recall who
and
that is.
Stu,
you know, I've done a bunch
all
of interviews.
These text messages of them like best buddies.
Yeah, they go back and forth because the Kash Patel Foundation was out there doing work on behalf of Stu Peters News Service, or whatever you want to call it. So it was providing financial support through them through the, you know, the fight with Kash.
But why not say, because Stu didn't turn into a Nazi till 2 years ago, why not just say, yeah, I was on his show before he went crazy?
I think this was bad advice. I think this is coming from PR people. And if I had to guess, I think it's coming from Erica Knight, who is the PR person for Kash Patel, who has done things like this before. She thinks that you can solve things by just spin. And that's not what you do when you want to lead the FBI, where
you
can be fired for what's called lack of candor.
20 years ago, it's the opposite
right
now. Like I try
today,
to get everything right because I want to. When I get something barely wrong, I get chewed to pieces.
Because the internet exists and it didn't exist in the same way. And so, yeah, people can go back and fact check that you spent, you know, an hour and a half on air talking to people and you acted like they're buddies. And then that person says, well, I got his personal phone number and I'm texting back and forth. And we got screenshots of that stuff. So it doesn't matter whether you have something like Signal where it auto deletes. I can show you the number of phone calls that Kash Patel made to me. He called me the day that he was getting confirmed and asked me questions. How do I spin this? He went out there and represented points that Kyle Serafin gave to him. I said, you should hone in on the fact that the FBI devalues valued the priority of what's called rigorous obedience to the Constitution in the FBI core values. And that happened in September of 2020, like before the election, it happened. And you should hone in on that. And so he did. He actually brought it up in the Senate confirmation hearing. So I know not only did he talk to me, but he remembered what I said because he went and said my words.
Do a little more time with us. You've been very gracious. Well, there's a little bit more in the next hour. What happened from his confirmation after? How does this work? When they call you in and this happens, stay right there. How do people find your podcast? How do they find the great work you're doing?
Sure. They can find me on YouTube until they take me away. It's youtube.com/@Kyle Serafin. You can find me on Rumble. It's rumble.com/Kyle Serafin. Or you can find me on X. It's @Kyle Serafin there. Those are the easiest ways. If you want to find it on Spotify, just type in KyleSerafinShow.com. So we make it easy. It's always my name. The simple thing is I don't need, they don't need to call him in. I think this was actually negotiated out during the confirmation.
I'll stay there.
If
stay
I had
there.
To guess.
Can you do 20 minutes more in the next hour?
Yeah, sure.
I want to finish up on this. Then we'll get into the Epstein stuff with Trump. Because I haven't, you know, I've talked about other issues and texts on the phone, but I'm not on this. You're always way ahead of the curve. So I want to know what you're hearing, what's going on with that. And then I'll hit some other big news, you know, after he leaves us. We'll go to break. Kyle, stay right there. Whew, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you this is going to be a massive scandal and a good one. The Epstein thing, not a good scandal because I've never seen evidence Trump's involved. I know Kyle, at least last time I talked to him, agrees with that. All other experts. Then why is he acting like this? And why has he done four 180s in the last 33 days? This is bad. But this with the bad guys in the FBI, or at least the wimps, the compromised, I smell victory here. This is a great thing that they're finally getting rid of some of the bad guys. And as Trump focuses attention on this, they're going to have big problems, the bad guys. This is so exciting. We've seen a major change of course towards indictments. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but finally got grand juries being referred to. We'll talk to a real expert, Kyle Serafin, who's very impressive. And most guests don't go very impressive, very impressive. I'm very impressed. He's been on the show like 15 times. You know, I'm not just lauding people. It's impressive because I only have the guest having more is over the years is whoever's accurate. That's my gauge. Who's accurate? Who has a long-term thing of being accurate? And you tune in here because we want to be accurate. We're wargaming it all live on air. I'm going to break, but just listen to me. The state court that ran the show trial with HBO and the Democrats, the 13th, next Wednesday or whatever it is got a receiver. They're trying to send the sheriffs as early as next Friday. We've survived a bunch. People go, oh, yeah, you'll survive. It's like grandma lives 10 years with cancer. One day you call, she's dead. We're very close to being shut down. We got backups. It's all great. But we need your support. So just remember, I'll be on X. We're trying to take that. We get shut down next week. Real Alex Jones. We'll tell you the new systems that are built. The Alex Jones Network at AJN Live. You know, I don't focus on us a lot because there's bigger fish to fry. But it's like the Battle of Hoth. The Imperial troops are coming in the base right now. Or, you know, the last Matrix where they're drilling into the underground base. So the drillers are coming through. And I'm like, still fighting the Matrix while they're because I got to beat the big thing to stop what's happening to me down here in the underground bunker. But I need your support. Today's the last day to buy anything at the alexjonesstore.com. All the supplements, the methylene blue, the t-shirts, the ball caps, all of it. Buy one, get one free. It's got to end today. And our ultimate turmeric is finally back in stock. Very strongest, 50% off. That's the new sale, thealexjonesstore.com.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.